Chapter 23. The Young Mistress. She was power incarnate. She was grace given form. She was death made manifest. Her legs propelled her through the forest after the fleeing prey. She bounced from branch to branch, never making a sound. Her quarry stank of panic and desperation as it dragged its maimed leg behind it. The foolish thing had thought it managed to escape her when she had let it run. A lady needed her entertainment, after all, and this one was entertaining beautifully. It had been so full of arrogance when she had found it, so full of confidence in its skills. She had stripped it of its false strength and shown it what true power really was. In a single blow, she'd shattered its pride, and its look of triumph turned to horror. But now, she tired of the chase. It was a small distraction, and tracking this in this new, white-blanketed world tested her skills. Sounds were muffled, and the snow hid things from sight, a minor challenge, but a challenge all the same. Her prey collapsed as its leg finally failed on it. It lay there, in pain, but relishing its escape. She descended before it, her breathing unhurried. The look of pure terror upon the faces of the wicked were a balm to her soul. The rat cowered. The rat begged. The rat pleaded.
"If the heavens wished for you to live, then you would not have met me."
The rat died. She strode away, her head held high. Another one of the wicked beasts that dared come into her territory was defeated. And it was her territory. The chicken was not up to the task. It was cowardly and weak. The others said he was some great warrior, but she could not believe them. His slow, uncertain kicks were pitiful. He rose not to her provocations, and so she allowed him to exist within her presence. The pigs were large, but ultimately dumb. The less said about the prey rat, the better. Only she was capable of protecting this place. Only she was capable of defending Faram and all her master's possessions. They would come to realize this and praise her in due time. She preened. The others would respond to her like her master. They would aid her and praise her. Though the master could protect this place too, she supposed. Though it would be best that he remained unbothered. She shuddered at the memory of one of her first memories. The land did not even notice her. She was nothing before the boundless power directed at another. Her breath was being crushed out of her lungs by the weight of the world as he stood there, a mountain rising to the heavens. The master's wrath was something that should not be roused, so she dealt with annoyances for him. He had more important things to do, like tending to his home and scratching her back.
"Yes, these are all worthy things for the master to do."
He could even spend his time making sure the other miserable creatures had the slightest bit of skill so they wouldn't be complete burdens, like he was doing now.
"Chunky boy, chunky boy, chunky boy!"
the master shouted gleefully, crouched down in the snow with his arms held apart in a stance, ready to receive his disciple's blow. She knew he needed no stance to withstand Chunky's strike, but he was being kind to the dullard. Chunky squealed happily and immediately tore off after the master, plowing through the snow. His charge shook the land, and the covering on the ground barely slowed him. If she had been hit by this mighty charge, she would not emerge unscathed, although he wouldn't be able to hit her. She was too fast. Probably. She might need to increase her own training. When Chunky struck the master, however, he didn't so much as budge. The master caught him by the tusks. They began to rock from side to side, and the master easily bowled him onto his flank, laughing at his disciple's enthusiasm. Chunky rolled to a stop, and then eagerly righted himself, ready once more to receive the master's personal instruction. He was weak, so it was only right. His recent recovery from his injuries meant that he needed more attention. She would be monopolizing the master's bed tonight anyway. None of the others got that honor, so really, she spent the most time near the master. She bit down on the dead rat.
"Ooh, this one is tasty."
Once more, Chunky charged, and once more the master took his mighty blow without care, rolling him onto his side and scratching his belly, showing him how an enemy would disembowel him. Then he unleashed a series of slaps onto the pig's stomach, miming a devastating combination of strikes that would have surely slain the oaf had even a fraction of the master's strength been in the blow. Chunky went limp, as he should, until the master led him up and began scratching his mane affectionately. She turned her nose up at the display and left with a flick of her tail as the master continued to wrestle with Chunky and roll him around in the snow. She stalked her domain, heading towards the great pillars. The weak coward Bidee was upon them, as always, silent and dwelling on whatever ailed him. The little prey was on his back, as always. She could appreciate that the rat had some measure of intelligence, always keeping the other disciples around so that the two of them couldn't play. Bidee greeted her, but she ignored him and continued to stare at the rat, who was observing the master's training session.
She is a disciple, isn't she?
She ate the master's food and lived on the master's land. Wasn't it time she learned to contribute? She finished eating her meal while the little thing cowered at her attention and accusation. The rat was weak and needed to be strong to survive the world. Otherwise, she was just food. She was the master's, which meant she couldn't be weak. She was not allowed to be. Rizu seemed to be trying to muster up her courage to confront her when they were interrupted. Bidee shook his head and stood. He looked upon her and declared,
"If she needed a sparring partner to test herself against, he would oblige her."
She found this amusing. He had nearly been beaten by prey, of all things. That he thought himself able to match her was laughable. Very well, this young mistress would teach him how the world worked. And then, after that, she would trade pointers with little Rizu. They both stepped onto the ground, a section cleared of snow. She washed herself after her meal, unconcerned, and Bidee landed before her. The rooster bowed his head in respect.
"Fool."
Tigu pounced. Her form was impeccable, her sudden strike sure to defeat the cock instantly. She missed. No, Bidee sidestepped. She whirled with grace beyond measure and struck again, only to hit empty air. Her eyes narrowed at Bidee. He tilted his head to the side, observing her, and then nodded his head.
"Slow," he commented. "Basi Bushi was much faster."
Fury overtook her.
This preening cock dared. "I will disembowel him for the insult."
Her claw intent filled the air. Her mighty weapons unsheathed themselves. Bidee stood unconcerned. His eyes were closed. Her body moved with speed surpassing her previous movement. Her strikes could slaughter 100 rats each. Her claws extended past her own body. They tore into the snow and ground mercilessly. But they did not tear into Bidee. He moved with her, not a single feather ruffled by her passing. The coward ran, hopping back onto the great pillars, and she followed, unable to let her prey elude her. Over the great pillars and through its mighty construction, they traveled as blurs of color. Her claws bit deep, even into the master's reinforced structure, proving her might. But she could just not hit this blasted thing. Her claw chi sharpened. That he had forced her to use her technique, it was unbelievable. But her pride would not allow her to be made a fool of any longer. She was the master's blade. She was the most valuable disciple. This worthless creature was courting death. Her claw chi burst towards Bidee's form, sure to finally land a blow. She did. Her blades met Bidee's skin and stopped. Her claws were defeated utterly by the rooster's power. The rooster who winced with every kick. The rooster who sat upon his pillars. He was this strong, even while wounded. She gazed in incomprehension.
"Acceptable," Bidee informed her.
He flicked his wings, and she went flying off the pillars and into a snowdrift. She lay there, stunned.
How was he this strong? He was toying with her.
She burst out of the snowdrift, snarling at Bidee, her fur raised and eyes wild. But he was already sitting back down, his eyes closed.
"As the great master once said, pride comes before the fall," he instructed her.
Wrath coursed through her body, but she forced down the feeling.
"You would know, wouldn't you?"
she sneered. Bidee's eyes opened. There was pain and loss in those depths. Shame, humiliation, and peace.
"Yes, I would. My hubris nearly brought great Faram to ruin, even with all of my might."
Tigu sneered again at his words. She would surpass him. She would never be so foolish.
If this tale prevents you from making the same mistakes I have, I will be content.
Her rage was building again. How dare he act so unaffected? Hey, Bidi? Tigur? Are you two fighting? The master asked sternly, picking her up out of the snowdrift.
Ah, master's warm hands,
she purred. Bidi shook his head in her distraction. Her pride stung that the rooster was saving her from dishonor. The master sighed.
Good, good. No serious fighting, either of you.
She was stuffed down her master's shirt and pressed against his warm body, with only her head peeking out.
Bliss.
Now, let's go. The general that commands the winter isn't going to build himself. Bidi tried to protest, but the master lifted both him and the rat, placing them on his shoulders. The rooster looked mortified. He then started walking, calling Chunky and Pipa to him, gathering the snow in his hands into a ball. See? Just like old times, he said, smiling at the senior disciple. This was not over, but she could not beat him yet. She would be his superior in time, though, her training and skill far surpassed his. All she needed was a bit more experience. She would begin tomorrow. This was just too nice. Bidi seemed to relax more and more as the master worked, with Chunky and Pipa helping him amass a great amount of snow. It was gathered into a giant ball as the master toiled with energy and enthusiasm. Slowly, the rooster began to hop from shoulder to shoulder, watching the ball intently while the pile of snow grew and grew. Finally, Bidi could contain himself no longer and crowed mightily, his voice echoing out through all of Faram. It hurt her ears, the wretched beast. However, the master smiled.
You tell him, Bidi,
he said happily, in his arcane and profound tongue, the one Bidi could not understand yet, scratching the rooster's wattles. The next day, Tigu allowed the senior disciple to have her attention as he kicked along the great pillars. He noticed her attention and invited her up.
Come, he told her. There is no short path to power.
She scoffed, but heeded his wisdom. She blessed him with her presence. Surely it would only take a single night to see his secrets and decipher them. She did not. She was very sore that night,